Hi, everyone. It is my privilege and honor to be here. You know why we put these tents up, right? It wasn't for the rain. It was for the sun coming out in about 10 minutes, all right? It was act of faith. It is so beautiful to be here in Canada. When I was crossing the border, they wanted my fingerprints. Actually, let me tell you the truth was I was lying down in the back and the what's his name? I don't know what title he has, but I don't think he woke up on the right side of the bed this morning because he said, okay, who else is in there? Well, he's in the back laying down. Well, he has to sit up. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, I'm just like, I'm trying to get some sleep. And I'm like, if he just popped his head in the window, maybe he'll change his mind. So I'm trying to get up and he pops his head in. He's like, oh, it's okay. You're fine. He said, oh, I thought you had a child in the back. I said, well, I am a child of someone. And I said, join the club. So it's just wonderful to be here. And the Canadian border really accepted me without any fingerprints. Trust me, I won't cause any trouble. I'm not going to cause anyone to try and come and handcuff me. But I do love to play some tricks sometimes. And I just got to open up. For those of you who don't know, my prankster side. You know, last year or the year before that, we actually dressed me up as a pilot and greeted the passengers as we got on the plane. If you don't believe me, it's on YouTube. And we have a lot of fun just pranking people. And you know, kids come up and they're like, what happened? And I go up to them and I say, cigarettes. And the funniest story of all was one day I was in the front seat of the car and we're at the traffic lights and this car comes up next to us and this girl's looking at me. I'm looking at her. She's looking at me. I'm looking at her. And all she sees is my head. So just imagine all you see is my head, right? I just did this. And her face was like, really, really, really funny. I want to thank the people who've really helped to put this on. If it wasn't for Bill and his family and Neil and his family and the church here on Crystal Beach, we wouldn't be here. Can we thank them for today? So as Neil was saying, last year, by the grace of God, God opened up doors for me to speak in 26 countries, meet 7 presidents, speak at 5 congresses, and it was just amazing to see that 6% of the world heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we hope that next year I'll be able to preach on Indian TV and Brazilian TV to another 400 million people. And so our gospel commission is to go out as a ministry and share the truth that there is hope, that there is truth, that there is purpose, that God's love is real. God's plan is the best thing you will ever receive in your life. God's healing is what we all need. There is a void in each of our hearts, and it can only be filled and healed by the love of God. And I just want to share with you from the bottom of my heart how he has changed my life and how I believe he wants to change yours. I was born in a Christian home, but that's not why I'm a Christian. Many people think that, well, just because my parents were Christian, that's why I'm a Christian. That is absolutely not the case. In fact, I hated God for many years of my life. Hearing my dad preach from the pulpit, that's correct. I'm a PK, big disability. In some people's eyes, especially when you're a kid, you have to go to church no matter what you're feeling. If you're sick, throw up, you feel better, go to church. We actually were a family that planted a church. My mom and dad planted a church 11 months before I was born. And my mom was a nurse, basically a midwife in Australia means that there are no doctors needed to have a woman give birth. My mom did the epidural and all that stuff, and so she was very much involved in the birthing process of many women. And when it came to her own pregnancy, she felt a premonition that something was wrong. And she shared that with my dad, and my dad said, why are you being so negative? Can you stop talking like that? She said, I don't know, something just doesn't feel right. And he said, just leave it. Just don't worry about it. It's fine. And the doctors did the sonograms and they said, oh, we're so happy to tell you it's a boy. The legs weren't in the way. And they actually did not register to check that I had 10 fingers and 10 toes. And when I was born, my dad saw me and he saw that I had no arm. And he nearly fainted, nearly vomited straight away. He knew what he saw was true, and he just didn't know how to comprehend that. My mom said, what's wrong? And they put me next to her, and she said, take him away. I can't see him right now. The overwhelming shock of even Christian parents was a little bit too much. I mean, there were so many times where we just have curveballs thrown at us. Tragedies happen in our life. And we wonder, is God really watching? And my dad, straight away, he came to see me in another room, unwrapped me, wrapped me back up, went to my mom and said, he's beautiful. And so by the grace of God, my dad took a lead in the first couple months of faith and leadership in the home. And it took my mom 4 months to come to terms with it. And both of the parents of my parents said, if you give him up for adoption, we'll take him in. We'll take him. And my mom said, he is my own flesh and blood. God gave me to him. And so we'll do our best and God will do the rest. So many times, you know, people came up to him and said, don't worry, God's going to give him arms and legs. Just pray right now. Just have more faith. Well, then you had other people come up and say, well, of course that happened. I mean, you know, God's just punishing you for the sins in your life. Like, what? And, you know, some people come up to me and say, wow, you're a perfect example of reincarnation. I said, how did you put that together? Well, you were just a bad kid in your last life, and hopefully you're a better guy now, and you'll become a butterfly next life. And I'm like, I'm thinking of all the butterflies I've killed in my wheelchair, and I... So a lot of people come up with all these theories and all these sort of things. And look, when we look at God, I want to clarify a couple things. The confusing parts for me as a kid was understanding that God loves me, yet he lets me be this way. And you know that song at Sunday school we sing, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, right? Then I went to school and I saw every other kid. And they had more than me. And I thought, God, if you love me like you love them, then why did you give me less? And I prayed for more. I prayed for arms and legs. I prayed by faith. I mean, faith of a mustard seed can move mountains. I had an avocado faith, all right? That God, you say you can do all things. I come to you and I pray that if you give me arms and legs, I want to show the world that you're real. I want to tell people that this ain't it. This is beautiful, but heaven is real. Heaven is a place where there is no death, no sickness, no disease, no cancer, no divorce, no pain, no sin, no devil who caused all this pain. And when I prayed for arms and legs didn't come, I didn't understand. And I was wondering if he was really there. I was wondering if I needed to be a better person for him to hear my prayer. And it was difficult. I went to school and I started having a hatred towards God because I felt like he didn't care. I was bullied at school. I was teased at school. They were calling me names and I would hide myself in the gardens of school pretending that I'm looking for something just to avoid everyone. And my mom and dad, if it wasn't for their love, I wouldn't be, of course, who I am today. But let me tell you, I went into a depression at age 8. You may not be able to see it, but I have a Bible here at my left foot. And this is the Word of God. And the Word of God is a book of promises, the Bible. And it's a book of promises that will help you in every way, shape, or form in your life. I'm just going to be a little technical here. Make sure you're not blocking anyone's view as you're standing there. And can we take down the umbrellas? So we're not blocking the view of another 20 people, please. I'm a short guy, and so I'm just trying to make sure that as many people can see me as possible so they can be beneficial in that. The first verse, if you're taking down any notes, the first note I would like you to write down is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. You may not know this verse, maybe you do, but it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Can everyone say the word hope? Hope is such a key life-changing word. I'm so sorry, but can we take that umbrella down in the middle, please? That's the one that's actually blocking 30 people behind you. Thank you so much. Beautiful. When I look at hope, say the word hope again. You know, when you look at people who go through ups and downs, you may not be able to see my foot, but ups and downs, you go through ups and downs, and if this Bible represents the absolute truth, the absolute hope, there are times where we can hear about something and yet not believe it. If, for instance, you say, "Nick, there is a red Ferrari out there for you, it's yours. If I don't believe you, am I going to go look for it?" No. If, in fact, it is there and I never look for it, then I'll never find it. If I never find it, then I'll never drive it. The truth is that whether you believe in God or not does not change the fact that He is there, that He does exist, that He does have a plan for you. And if that in itself is represented in this book right here on this side of the table, if I do not believe that it actually exists, that's believing in something that I cannot see, and that in itself is called faith, F-A-I-T-H, full assurance in the heart, F-A-I-T-H, full assurance in the heart of believing something you cannot see. If you don't believe in something you cannot see, then you're going to miss out on some things in life that may change your life forever. How many feet do I have? There are some children up the front. How many feet do you see up the front? One. How many of you think I have 2 feet? How many of you think I have 3 feet? 4 feet? Any more? Little weird, right? We know that I can see and you can see right now only 1 foot. Does that necessarily mean that that is the absolute truth? No. Now, who's curious as to how many feet Nick Vujicic actually has? Isn't it interesting that if I never show you actually the truth, after this is done, you're going to be driving home and you're going to be quiet and then you're going to say, "I wanted to see that other foot. Just why didn't he show me the other foot?" It's amazing how curiosity is. I give you an empty envelope with your name on it and say, "Hey, this is your envelope from me to you, but there's nothing in it. What are you going to do when I turn around?" "You're going to open it." Why? Because you just want to make sure. Don't you just want to make sure that you could be created by God and live forever and ever and ever and ever and never die? And don't you want to make sure that the God of this universe actually does love you, does care for you, can take your broken pieces and turn them into something beautiful? Don't you want to make sure of that? "Well, no. But that doesn't make sense, because if God loves me, then He should change a couple things. If God loves the world, then He should feed the 1 billion people who are starving to death today." Well, in the Garden of Eden, you don't know, with the two people that were in the garden. Who were the two people in the Garden of Eden? What were their names? Adam and Eve. Did they have a belly button? No. They were not born, they were created. Correct? Correct. Now, is God powerful? Can God do anything? But did He allow a little snake into the garden? He allowed it. Why did He allow it? Because it was the ability of human beings to have a thing called free will. If there is never a temptation or a choice to sin, and the man and woman chose not to sin or to sin, if that choice was taken away, there is no free will. He could have made us like robots. "We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord." He wanted children who chose to love Him. "I want my son to choose to love me." In my life, I felt like There was no choice of my pain. There is no way out of my pain. And there is no hope. And the God of hope isn't really speaking to me. And so I got depressed. And so God allows pain to happen, death to happen, cancer to happen, all these things. But God doesn't cause that pain. Since Adam and Eve, before they sinned, were in the garden, they could have stayed with God forever and ever and ever and ever. But when they sinned, they then were given a temporary life, just as all the other human beings, to choose to believe what God says or not to believe what God says. The biggest sin that Adam and Eve did is not believe what God said, period. And we have the same choice. God says, I have a plan for you. No, you don't. Well, God, yeah, of course you got a plan for me, but can I suggest a plan B? I understand that you love me and you can do all things. God, if you just gave me arms and legs, I mean, don't you get it, God? Wouldn't it be cool? You gave me arms and legs, I'd meet presidents and I'd go on the Oprah Winfrey show. I'd jump up and down like Tom Cruise on that couch one day. I believed in heaven. I believed in God. But then he didn't make sense to me, so I walked away. In my mind, in my heart, I was walking away from the truth and thinking all these fearful thoughts. I'm never going to get married. Even if I got married, I can't even hold my wife's hand. I can't provide because no one's going to want to employ me. What kind of a job am I going to get? I need a nurse to be employed for me to be employed. That's one for the price of two. No one does that. At 8 years old, I'm looking at my teachers and I'm like, they're not here for fun. They're getting paid for this. My mom and dad have a job. What happens after school? I don't know. What do you want to be when you grow up? I don't know. A firefighter. Like, seriously, can you imagine if I said a doctor and I become a doctor and the patient comes in? I'm your doctor. Hi, we're going to do a surgery on you. Really? I'm fine. I don't need that surgery. Thank you very much, doctor. I mean, what was I supposed to say? What am I going to be? I don't know who I'm going to be. I didn't think I'd be anyone or anything. And no one had a clue. I asked my mom, why was I born this way? I don't know. Dad, why was I born this way? I don't know, but God knows. Does my doctor know? No, he doesn't know either. No one knows. Only God knows. Ask him. God, why? Nothing happened. God, please give me arms and legs. And I kept on going on this path of fear, of loneliness, and a lack of faith. I'm going to be alone for the rest of my life. Just give up, Nick. You're always going to be teased in life. God's not real. There is no greater plan. This is it. At age 10, I tried to commit suicide in my family bathtub because it was just too much. I didn't want to be a burden to my parents. I felt like I was. They were the best parents. They are the best parents that I could ever ask for. Beautiful brother, beautiful sister. They all loved me. And my pain drove me to wanting an out, to check out. And as I was trying to turn over and drown myself, I realized what I was actually just about to do was leave a hole in the heart of my family that could never be filled again. And they did nothing but love me, and so they didn't deserve that, so I decided to stay. And as I grew older and older, I realized that the fight is between lies and the truth. And God gives us the truth, and the snake gives the lies, and his name's the devil. And so when you hear, oh, you're ugly. No, God says in Psalm 139, I am wonderfully and fearfully made. God's forgotten you. No, he hasn't. He has more precious thoughts of me than all the grains of sand in the world. If you pick up one handful of the sand beneath your feet, you will never, ever be able to count how many grains of sand in your hand. I mean, it would take you weeks to do that. Now multiply it by the stretch of beach and multiply that by all the sand underneath that body of water. Then multiply it by all the beaches and all the seas in the world. You cannot count how many grains of sand in the world there are. And if you're a parent, you'll understand that more are the precious thoughts of your children when they obey you, and less are those precious thoughts that you're focused on when they disobey you and drive you crazy. When you even run a million miles in the wrong direction, a million miles around an hour in the opposite direction of God's truth, God still has more precious thoughts of you than all the grains of sand in the world. He loves you. He can't stop thinking about you. He waits for you to wake up and call upon Him and talk to Him. If you ever believe that God doesn't love you, I want you to hear the amazing unconditional love of Jesus Christ. You're hearing a testimony from a limbless man who has a pair of shoes in his closet in case God gives him arms and legs. And the reason I have a pair of shoes in my closet and have that faith is not just by faith, but I have seen the impossible. I have seen blind people seeing, deaf people hearing, lame people walking, crooked backs come straight, skin diseases fall off bodies, a dead man just about 3 hours away from death in a hospital bed in Australia, prayed for him. Next morning, he does a cartwheel out of his room, unexplainable. He's jumping up and down out that hospital. I've seen some crazy, cool things that science cannot simply explain. The first miracle I saw when I was 19 years old was a woman came up to me like this, and her legs were totally uneven. Her back was like this for 6 years, had a motorbike accident. No doctor wanted to touch her. And so she came up after giving her life to Jesus Christ. We prayed for her back. Simple, simple prayer. I didn't even lay my hands on her. Ha ha ha. In Jesus' name, be healed. And straight. And she fell in shock, just crying and bawling out to God, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. And I'm like, whoa, dude, that was cool. Like, I'm like, I'm ready for my aid. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I commit myself into your hands. And nothing happened. It was so weird that it happened, and I prayed for it, and yet I was still shocked that it actually happened. And then I'm like, I'm praying for maybe this is it, and nothing happens. And now I have more faith to pray for miracles, and the next day we pray for miracles, and not one happened. Look, God is beyond me, man. Who am I compared to God? Who am I to demand anything from God, even an explanation as to why I was born this way? But it makes logical sense. It really does to me if I explain it and believe it as the Bible says it. The Bible says, one day our pain and our tears will end. Heaven is what God made us for. When we are born, He doesn't promise an easy life. Even when we come to Jesus, it doesn't mean that as you walk with Jesus in an active relationship that He will necessarily heal you of cancer. Why? Because we're not made to live here forever. If I get cancer and I get healed, then I go in a car accident, and if I get healed, and then I go of old age, and if I continue to live on and on and on, I am not meant to stay here. We were born for heaven. We were created to be with God. And I don't care how I die, to tell you the fact, because I know I ain't dying. It's not the end. My last breath, whether it be in a plane crash, I've done 3 million miles around the world, in a car accident, cancer, or old age, choose what you want. I don't care. I'm going home one day. I'm going home one day. some people think that's just a coping mechanism, but if you actually understand that and you believe that, now it brings purpose into this life like never before. If we're only born to die, that doesn't make sense. If we're reincarnated, but I don't remember my previous life, and now next life, I'm not going to remember this life, that doesn't make sense. If I'm just living to die, it's all vanity. But if I choose in my temporary life to believe in God, to believe in the forgiveness of sins, the reason why we all die is because we all are not perfect. Adam and Eve didn't have to die until they were imperfect with sin. We were all born with sin. Just give 2-3-year-olds a toy and you'll see sin. They will dishonor their parents. They will steal, they will lie, they'll be jealous. And then number 6 is, thou shalt not kill. Now that might seem a little extreme, but actually as you look into the Bible, the Word of God, God says that he hates hate so much that if I hate you, God sees it as a crime of sin to hate. That I've killed you in my own heart. Now that's a big problem. Forget about arms and legs. Where am I going when I'm not here? So if I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sin, the only way to be clean is to be forgiven. The only way to be forgiven is to believe that someone paid the price for your sin. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. If I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, I will not die on my last breath. And I would never believe in heaven or a resurrection, unless someone actually resurrected. All the other religions, all the other leaders, they said, oh, we know the way to heaven. Oh, I know the way to God. Jesus didn't say that. He said, I am God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. There is only one cure to death, guys, and it's resurrection. Only one guy did that. Only one person was holy and said he was holy and did miracles and resurrected other people apart from himself. That is the only reason why I believe in another life. Now, this is the coolest part. 9 years ago, I met a little boy with no arms and no legs in the crowd. And the father held him up. And this kid, 19-month-old, had a little foot just like me. And I'm like, whoa, man, this is so cool. We're going to wrestle later on, man. We got the father to bring him up on stage right here, looking up at me, big brown eyes, big smile. I'm looking down at him. I can't give him a high five, so I gave him a low 2. And everyone was crying. Everyone was crying. Why? Because it was a miracle. It would be cool if God gave me arms and legs and then I could get on a bike and smash into a pole and break a leg. That would be cool. But that's nothing compared to the idea and plan of God, where he made sure that I would be at that church at that time so they would be there. And I looked at him on stage and I had a flashback of when I was a kid wishing that I could just meet one other person like me. That would have made all the difference. If a man had no arms, no legs and came to my school and talked about bullying at my school, it would have changed everything. It would have been a miracle. I didn't get that miracle, but even when God doesn't give me the miracle I think I want, I think I need, he can actually make me to be a miracle for someone else. I don't care what you want, what money you want on this planet, what relationship you wish you had, what kind of spouse you hope to have, what kind of children you hope to have, what kind of education you want, what kind of money you want, what kind of happiness and pleasure you want. All that stuff is nothing compared to heaven and what God has for you. I can only imagine when I'm in heaven and I see that little boy, now a grown man. I'm telling you, man, when I met this little boy, I told his mom, hey, I'm going to go to his school when he gets bullied. She said, he's not going to school. I said, what do you mean he's not going to school? Well, the doctor said that he can't go to school. I said, just show those doctors my YouTube videos. He's going to school. They showed them the YouTube videos and said, oh, he's going to go to school. I went to his school 2.5 years ago. He was getting bullied and teased. And when I went there, I got in my wheelchair and ran him all over. No, I didn't. But I went there and shared a message of love and hope. And now he's the coolest kid in the school. Now I got to sit him down and talk about pride and humility. But now we're going to be swimming together in a couple weeks, man. And now he's like 6, 7 years old. And it's incredible. And I can only imagine that day in heaven where I hear my name. Hey, Nick! And it's Daniel. And he's running to me on his new legs. And I'm standing on my new legs. And we hug each other with our new arms. I can only imagine that we will cry. And I can only imagine that he's going to say, thank you, brother, for helping me believe that this place called heaven was real. Now tell me, what can compare to that? Tell me. Nothing. Nothing. Now God says in the Word, I want you to hear this. You do not go through your pain in vain. He doesn't let you just suffer for the sake of suffering. And in many parts of the Bible, you can see that if we just give our broken pieces to him, saying, God, I don't understand. I don't get this. I pray for healing. You haven't healed me. God, I can't even walk. Well, I will carry you. I will comfort you and cause all things to come together for the good if you love me and if you answer the call to my purpose. God has a purpose for everyone. And he has a purpose for you, for your family. Trust in him one day at a time. I want to see you all in heaven. On a real crystal beach shore, dude. God loves you so much. And I just want to ask if that guitarist can come back up. I don't play guitar. Well, I do play guitar, but I'm not warmed up yet. That's my excuse. But I just want you to know that God loves you. There was no one who died for your sins. There's no one and nothing that can heal you like Jesus Christ. And he is real. I do have 2 feet. I have a little one here. Can you see that, kids? It's quite shy, and everyone's like, oh, where is the foot? The foot is there. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. God has a plan, whether you see it or not. In the war of truth against lies, when you realize it's just the devil. Everyone say, it's just the devil. You're turning me up instead of him. No, good. Maybe turn me down just a bit because I get excited. My hands fly everywhere. When you realize it's just the devil, and the reason why I say it's just the devil is not because I am anywhere near powerful than him, but he is nothing compared to how powerful Jesus is. Jesus defeated the devil. That's history. That's his story. That's what happened. And no one conquered the grave. No one conquered sin. And no one conquered the devil. And when I have Jesus living in my heart, whatever he conquered, I'm living in that power. That's why I'm going to conquer anything that comes against me, even death itself. So when you realize it's just the devil, you just do this to the devil. Say, devil, talk to the foot because the ears ain't listening. You turn yourself around and go, na, 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 na. I am not ugly. I'm a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Not those who wait for a circumstance to change. Not those who wait for them to be smarter. Not those who wait to get more money. Not those who wait for another relationship. Not those who wait for what? What are you waiting for? What are you looking for? Stop looking left, stop looking right, and look up. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. God has a plan for you. I don't need arms and legs. I need the wings of the Holy Spirit. I don't need intellect. I don't need money. I don't need stuff. I don't need approval. You teenagers, approval of other people around you. You're beautiful just the way you are. You girls, you're royalty. You don't need to be shorter or taller or more beautiful in your eyes. In God's eyes, you are His daughter. Boys, you are His son. And when my wife was pregnant with my boy, Kiyoshi, and I had my foot on her womb and I felt him kick, it takes me a lot to cry. It takes me a lot to see tears in my eyes, let me tell you, because I've seen some stuff. And emotionally, it takes me a lot to be moved. But man, the split second when I felt him kick against my foot, tears were in my eyes, and I looked at my wife in the eyes and I said, babe, I love him. God says he knew you before the earth began. He knew your name. He knows your name. I knew Kiyoshi's name and I knew him before he was born. And I didn't even care if he even spits in my face one day. I'm going to love him because he is my boy. I will love him unconditionally. God has a plan for you. And that story I mentioned about hearing about the love of God, let me tell you the short story. I was in India, in the red light district of Mumbai, or Bombay, however you want to say it. And there was a whole city block of 150 brothel houses stacked upon each other, forced into prostitution, sold sometimes by their parents at 10 years old, $700. So I spoke in front of 600 girls who were enslaved. What do you tell them? Just have a positive attitude? Are you kidding me? Well, maybe next life it's going to get better. You got to be kidding me? There's only one thing that really works, and it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It really is. And I've seen it. And I've seen those girls who leave and go to my friend's refuge camp, get rehabilitated. He buys their debt out, sets them free, sometimes kidnaps them out of that place, shows them the love of Jesus Christ. They come to Jesus Christ, get a job, and not save for a car or a house, but they save money to come back and set another girl free. And then go up to their pimps and madams and say, I forgive you in Jesus' name, and Jesus loves you, and he still loves you today. To me, that's a miracle. Huge miracle. When I was there, another miracle that I saw was an old woman who could not walk for 4 years. They told us that she could not walk, did not walk out of that house for 4 years. I talked to them about Jesus. They said, stop. Her sister said, stop talking about Jesus. I don't want to hear about Jesus. Stop talking. Show me that your God is real. Make my sister walk. And I said to God, God, do you realize that she's not putting me on the spot here? She's putting you on the spot here. I just want to clarify that. We prayed the first time. She could not walk. Excruciating pain on her face. She tried to stretch her legs out. Technically, basically, her legs were crippled and shriveling up. And the second time we prayed, her face changed from a weak face where she couldn't even close her jaw like this to this. I'm ready. And I said, what? She said, I'm ready. I said, no, we need to pray a little bit more. There's my faith.
The evangelist praying for a paralyzed woman. The paralyzed woman says, I'm ready. And the evangelist says, no.
What's up with that? All you need is a little bit of faith in the living God. You can have oceans of faith in a dead God. The dead God's dead. But if you have a little bit of faith in the living God, the Most High God, the one where he had no bounds, Jesus Christ, he hears you and he can do a lot and everything. And let me tell you what happened. She got up. She didn't just start walking like this. And we were like, whoa. She starts jumping up and down. She looked about 144 years old. Do you understand me? And this woman is jumping up and down. I'm like, honey, don't break the legs that God just healed. That wasn't the miracle in that. This is the miracle who that woman was. She wasn't just any woman. She must have been in the 90s. Easy. She was the one who 45 years ago started that red light district in Mumbai. She was the one who recruited the pimps and the madams. She was the one who organized the kidnapping. She is the one who destroyed and responsible for thousands and thousands and thousands of 10-year-old girls enslaved till their death. And God loved her. God healed her. That's the unconditional love of God. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. He loves you. He's not going to love you anymore if you're 10 times better than you are. If you're 100 times better than you think you are today, he's going to love you just the same. That's the unconditional love of God. So the question is, are you going to do this life in your strength, in your plan, in your wisdom, or God's? Have you ever failed anyone? Have you ever failed yourself? Well, God never fails. He will never fail you. He may not make sense sometimes. Do you think that my parents thought that God would use their limbless boy to be the hands and feet of him as an evangelist, meeting presidents and stuff? No way. But if God had a miracle for me, he promises he has a miracle for everyone. And I gave my life to Jesus at 15 when I read about the blind man. If he had a plan for a blind man, he has a plan for me. Arms and legs or not, rich or poor, sick or healthy, God has a plan for me. And if I died today and this was my last speech, then so let it be, I'm going home. God loves you. And he loves your family. And if today you can confess that you know that you're a failure, you're a sinner, you never be perfect, that's the beginning. That you have limits, that's the very beginning. Second thing is acknowledging that God is real. You want to believe by faith that he loves you. Why? Because he said so. And that there is heaven. Why? Because he said so. It's not blindly following. It's actually believing. And you'll see as you believe and you take one step at a time, Lord, teach me how to pray. Lord, teach me how to have a relationship with you. God, help me to make the right decisions. Lord, I want to know what you want. It's not that you have to give up your dreams. God made you with your dreams. But for you to understand that money, drugs, sex, alcohol, pornography, and all ways of sin will never satisfy you and is not the answer. And you need the healing of God. That's where you, facing this way, you turn around and say, enough's enough. And as you do that, it doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily better than yesterday. But you've made a decision to not want to sin anymore. And God, help me change my mind. Renew my heart. I want to know you. Help me to be who you want me to be. I want to know your plans. So if there be anyone here who can say, you know what, Nick, I haven't turned away from sin. I've tried to be a better person. Or maybe you have come to God one day in your life, but then you became depressed 2 weeks later like I did. Because at 15, I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and 2 weeks later, I'm like, what's wrong with me? I need to be a Christian, and I still fail God. Doesn't mean that everything's going to change. It's a decision that starts the changing process and transformation of God in your life that will never end. Day by day by day, as you ask for forgiveness, He forgives you. And as you strive to be who He wants you to be day by day, you mature and grow into righteousness and a person who lives for God. It's not that I'm more righteous than I first was, guys, but I'm living under His forgiveness and becoming the more mature man of God as each year passes. So would you ask God to come into your life? In fact, He stands at the door of your heart and He knocks. Will you let Him in? Or will you say, no, tell me what you're going to do, then I'll let you in. Don't do that. Let Him in. And He will heal your heart and give you strength one day at a time. If you already have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not talking to you right now. But right now, if you know in your heart of hearts you do not have an active relationship with God, and you want to do that today, you don't want to live another day without Him, and living the way He wants you to live, and having what He wants you to have. If you don't have that real relationship with Him today, and you want that today, would you stand to your feet right now? And we're going to say a prayer. You're going to see a lot of people standing. Only stand up if you know you do not have a relationship with Jesus and you want that relationship right now. If you're standing and because you've been standing the whole time, would you squat for a second? I know my legs get tired when I do that, but I'm sorry. At least you got legs, all right? Right now, all across this place, you know in your heart of hearts, you do not have the peace of God in your heart, in your life. You don't want to live your way anymore. You want to live God's way. If you can stand, stand right now. That's you. If you don't want to stand alone, you want to ask your friend, hey, can you stand with me? I want to stand, but I don't want to stand alone. If that's you, just stop thinking about asking someone and just stand together. If that's you, just stand. Stand up all across this place. Anyone else? Come on. That's only about 25 of you. Anyone else? I'm going to wait. I feel there's going to be at least double or triple in this. Stand to your feet if you know in your heart of hearts you don't want to live another minute without God's peace and His love and assurance of heaven. And you want to ask Him into your life right now. Stand. Receive Him right now. That's another 5 people. Anyone else? 6. 7. That's 7 more people. Stand to your feet right now. Teenagers, there is no fence. You're either living your life God's way or your way. Anyone else? Teenagers, young kids, you're never too young to give your life to Jesus. Last call, final call. If you know that you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, just stand right now. There we go. 1, 2. It's not too late. 3, 4. Awesome. Can we give God a glory shout and an applause? Just keep standing. As we are, let's pray. Dear God, we thank You so much for today. We thank You, Lord, for Your love and Your plans. And we thank You, God, for these people who stood up today. Lord, we thank You that You hear our prayers, and we thank You, Lord, You would help them to know You more and more. Give them faith and give them strength and healing in Jesus' name. Lord, upon the whole beach here, Lord, You know every sickness and every disease, and in the name of Jesus, we come in full faith knowing that you can heal and you do heal. And we pray, Lord God, that if it is your will, that, Lord, every sickness and disease and cancer be gone in Jesus' name. We pray for full healing in our bodies. We pray for our loved ones who are sick at home. We pray for their healing as well. Lord God, if it's not your will that physical healing happens today, we thank you for the greatest miracle of all that you always do, is healing of our soul, restoration of our heart and our mind, and salvation. Lord, we pray for healing in our minds and our hearts. We pray, Lord God, for peace. We pray, Lord God, for strength. And if there be anyone who's walked away from you, who's never walked with you before, Lord God, may you move their heart to say this prayer. Would you repeat this prayer after me and say, Dear God, I come to you today and I thank you for loving me. Thank you for your plans. Heal me, Lord. Forgive me. I don't want to sin. I want to know you. I want to know your plans. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I don't want to sin. Forgive me. Come into my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Teach me to pray. And teach me the Bible. Thank you, God, that you'll never leave me. Help me to know you more each and every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Remain standing. Let's give God a big glory hand clap. Hallelujah. Awesome. So I want to make, before anyone sits down, I want to make sure that everyone standing is not just standing for the sake of standing, but standing because you said that prayer. And I want you to know that God loves you, has a plan for you, and he's heard that prayer. You've asked him to forgive you of your sins. Here's the good news. Everyone say, good news. Not only has God forgiven you of your sin, but he has erased your sin, every sin, from the moment of your birth to this point, erased it and threw it into the sea of forgetfulness. He remembers your sin no more. You are forgiven. He'll never bring it up. The only person who tries to go fishing of those memories is the devil. So when you say, do you remember this? You know that ain't God. That ain't headbutt the devil. And say, go behind me because I know I am forgiven. I'm a new creation. Oh, well, what if you sin again tomorrow? Well, okay, I will do my best and God will do the rest. God will do the change and I am in him and he is in me. Those are the promises of God you need to hold on to. How do we know the promises of God? Because the Bible says, if you don't ever open up the Bible, if you never study the Bible and you only hear of people talking about the Bible, you don't know all the promises God has for you. Now, we're not going to throw you a Bible and say, okay, good luck. We want to help you. The Crystal Beach Church here wants to help you with the next steps. No matter how good you feel right now, you may wake up the next morning and say, well, that was great, but what do I do now? We want to help you. If you're standing for the reason of why I think you're standing, and you said that prayer, and you meant it with your heart, would you put your hand up right now? If you're standing and you said that prayer in your heart, raise your hand nice and high. Great. Put your hands down. In a moment, I want you to know that we're going to bring each and every one of you behind the wall. I'm not going to be able to meet you or greet you. I have a drive. I need to leave here momentarily. But I want you to know that God loves you. And there is a whole team of people with those cool Church on the Beach shirts that they have something to give you. We have a free Bible for you. We have some information in there about the next steps. And we also have a decision card. A decision card is just asking you a couple of your contact details so we can ask you for money. No, okay? No, don't think that. We are getting your contact details because we want to help you. We are here to pray for you and your family and anything we can help you in. We, by the grace of God, will be there for you. So if you're standing up, you're going to need the next steps. Now, here's the big question. How many more of you are sitting in your seats and you know you said that prayer, but you did not stand up? Don't do this on your own. You need the next steps. So please, if you know that you're sitting down right now, but you know you said that prayer and you're like, you know what, Nick, I need that packet. I want to know, what do I do from here? If that's you, you said that prayer just like everyone else stood up. You just didn't stand up, but you said that prayer. Stand up right now. I want to see you. Stand up to your feet. You need this pack. I want to see more people standing. That's one more person. Anyone else? Anyone else? You know you said that prayer. Thank you. I see two. Three. You said that prayer. Stand to your feet. That's three more. Four. I see at the back. Five. Six. That's six more. You know what happens in heaven when one person stands up? I mean, there is an eruption of partying in heaven. Is there anyone else? You said that prayer. Just join us right now. Anyone else? That was six more people. Awesome. Would you please, seven down the front. Awesome. Hallelujah. How old are you? Seven. What's your name? I love you, Chantel. You know Jesus loves you so much. I'm so proud of you standing up. Anyone else? Last call. Eight. Hallelujah. Last call, final call. If you know in your heart of hearts you need this stuff, you need this packet, stand right now. If you can't stand up for Jesus in this crowd, you can't stand up for Jesus when you go back home, when you go to your school. You don't know what that means yet, but that's okay. Thank you. That's eight more. Stand for Jesus here. Nine. Come on. We're not done. 10. That's 11. I'm seeing these people stand up. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Just stand. 17. Hallelujah. 18. If you please grab your things. Grab your, not your chairs. No one's going to take your chair. I won't take your chair. So grab your phone, grab your purse, whatever you want, whatever you got, grab your wallets. And would you please right now make an applaud as these guys now walk around that way. Give them help them out with finding a path, coming around this way, around the wall, and to the other side. Let's give them a big shout of encouragement and love. We love you. There are 90 people coming to the front. I just counted them all. 90. Plus. Probably now 100. 110. Let's give God the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. I want to thank again Church on the Beach here at Crystal Beach for your love. God bless you. God bless your ministry. You know, God's put it on my heart that we will definitely do a tour of Canada. We don't know exactly when that's going to be, but when we do Canada, we'll probably do six cities in a row. And would you keep us in prayer for that? Please do that. By the grace of God, in every single audience, we see anywhere from as low as 3% to 20% of the crowd giving their life to Jesus. And we've seen 500,000 souls face to face receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior and get plugged into a church. Some parents have trouble connecting with their teenagers and talking about different things. We have so many testimonies of parents loving the books of mine about bullying, stand strong, and all that stuff. YouTube videos. So please show them lifewithoutlimbs.org. We have less than 1,000 people supporting us on a monthly basis. Less than 1,000, even though we've reached, by the grace of God, 6% of the world and 2,700 speaking engagements and all that stuff. We need more of a first of all army for people to pray for us as we're on the front lines of God's army taking over territory for His kingdom. And if you're prayerfully considering where you could invest in the kingdom evangelically, I don't know if you sponsor a kid. I'm sure your church is doing a great job. But if you're looking for a worldwide ministry to get behind, please consider us. We were just with the governor of Indiana. We got a huge thing coming up this September. They have organized me to speak at 6 schools where 24 schools will come together and then put me on a simulcast that already 100,000 students already signed up in. We hope for 250,000 junior and senior high school students hearing me speak about bullying, never giving up, mentioning my faith. And in that questions and answers time, if someone asks me about my faith, which I think will happen, I'll be able to share my faith. So this is huge. This is huge for the nation of the United States of America. Setting the bar is how we can actually reach the United States of America state by state. And then invite them all to an evangelical night. That's live on the internet all for free. So please pray for us. We love Canada. We love the USA. We love you. And I just feel in my heart, if there is anyone who feels like they need special prayer for healing, whatever it looks like in your mind, would you stand? I want to pray for healing. If you know that you need prayer for healing, would you just stand to your feet right now? I'll give you 5 seconds to stand. 5, 4, 3, 2. Let y'all stretch out hands to the people who are standing. If you're sitting down, would you stretch your hands towards the people standing? Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you. And we thank you that there is nothing that you cannot do. You can do all things. And by the power of Jesus Christ, we claim that power as we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I love you guys so much. I wish I could hug you all, but my hands would fall off. The truth is, if I just start hugging so many strangers, someone's just going to pick me up and take me home. The Church on the Beach service does not normally go this long, so my apologies. Don't handcuff me, but if you live around here and you don't have a church, please come back, would you? We love you. God bless you. And I'm just going to give you a big hug from here. I love you. Jesus bless your day. Take care. Thanks.